Well, good morning, FFA. I've got to tell you, I love this organization. I owe so much of the career that I've enjoyed to the blue and the gold jacket and all that came with it. And so I just want you to know that if you are not fully, and I mean fully engaged, you better get there because the world needs your talent everywhere around the world and more none than ever now. So thank you. I bring greetings on behalf of my boss, Secretary Perdue. I know he has been here, yeah, from the state of Georgia. Are there any Georgians out there? Yeah. Yeah, we'll see if my friends from Indiana can rival you Georgians. No, I bring greetings on behalf of Secretary Perdue and all my colleagues, and if you didn't know it, those of us at the cabinet level and so many, many more in USDA around the world are FFA members. You might have read something about all the discussions we've been having with China. Did you know that the lead Foreign Ag Service person in our embassy in Beijing is a fantastic FFA member from the state of Texas? And everywhere I go, I meet people who were in and still are involved in FFA. So count me as a fan. Well, I'm from the Tipton FFA chapter in the Indiana Association, and I want to do just a couple of shout outs. I hear that my old friend, former Deputy Secretary Michael Skews from Delaware, is here. And I just want you to know that on one hand, I love this guy, but watch your pockets, okay? Just watch your pockets around that guy. And since we are celebrating so many milestones, 50 years of women in FFA, go women. Yeah. And 50 years of the Washington Leadership Conference. Absolutely. And 75 years of the foundation. And in a moment, I'm going to talk about another 50-year milestone that I think has relevance. But one of my favorites in that crowd of early women is my very longtime friend, Elin Miller. And I hope, Elin, you're out there and know I love you. And thank you for what you do for U.S. agriculture as well. Well, listen, there's two or three things I want to share. I'll be brief. I want to remind you that the skills you are learning now, you're going to use the rest of your life. Let me relay an experience from just yesterday. I was down in San Jose, Costa Rica. This wonderful Western Hemisphere group called AICA had ministers of ag and people like me at the meeting. And the Minister of Ag from the Dominican Republic was elected as the new president. Really good guy. I've known him. We do a lot of business with the DR. But it came time to do some parliamentary procedure, some elections and some adoptions of agenda and things that you, that those of you in the parliamentary procedure program know so well. And I found that very gently, very professionally, very respectfully, I had to pull on some skills, and I'm dating myself, from 1973 when I was on the parliamentary procedure team to help my good friend from the Dominican Republic get through the meeting. Who'd have thought that that many years later you'd be pulling from some of those basic skills? And let me remind you that it is frequent that I'm called upon to make some remarks or say something. And there's no time, there's not weeks and weeks, lots of time to practice your speech. You better have your impromptu speaking down. And the record keeping from my SAE project, my twin brother and I had a seed corn detasseling operation. The dedication to all that, I'm telling you what, it comes back every day. So for you FFA members, and for you FFA advisors that need to coax them along sometimes, I just want to remind you the skills you are learning today, you're going to use the rest of your life. And oh my goodness, do we need you now more than ever. More on that in just a moment. You always wonder, once I stepped out of FFA, you wonder, well, what's next? Will I have the chance to continue my love affair with FFA? And since we're here in Indy, I'll just share with you what that time was. I was working for what is now Corteva. It was Dow AgroSciences when I was there. And I remember I had all the community affairs and a lot of the industry affairs. And I heard a rumor one day that National FFA might be opening bids for the convention to be in another place besides our beloved, and I do mean beloved, Kansas City. I thought, well, that's interesting. And then a week later, I heard that National FFA might be looking to perhaps relocate the National FFA Center from Alexandria, Virginia, 5 miles from where my wife and I live now. And so I thought, well, Indianapolis is a can-do community. We're very much about youth. We have this amateur sports fanaticism. Who can I get to lead this effort to recruit the convention and the center to Indianapolis? And it hit me like a ton of bricks. I said, well, self, time for you to step up. So I led the committee that brought the center here. Louisville properly earned that for 7 years. That allowed us to grow. This place was under design and later built. We did not have Bankers Life Fieldhouse at the time. The convention center, that was 3 expansions ago. We were not ready. But boy, I tell you what, I want you to know that my friends from Indiana and from Indianapolis have a love affair with all of you now. And so I hope that we're honoring your hopes and expectations on delivering or co-delivering a wonderful convention. But that was my lesson on when it's time to step up and be a leader. Thank you. I want to share with you my own experience about a 50-year milestone. And just so I don't tease you very much, it's about the moonshot. Neil Armstrong, who I know or knew before he passed. Mike Collins, Buzz Aldrin. After my FFA days, I was up at Purdue University and I was very active on campus. There's a wonderful program there called the Old Masters Program, where once a year, in October, the university brings back 15 renowned people across many different fields. They're not all ag, they're certainly not all alums. For example, we had Clayton Yeider, former Secretary of Ag from Nebraska. At that time, he was leading the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. We had Bruce Johnston, one of the Beach Boys, was there. And we had always, Purdue being astronaut central, had a NASA jock, as I like to call him. So I got to host the number 2 guy at NASA's very famous Kennedy Space Center. He later went on to lead Houston Space Center, probably the most famous of them all. And we got to talking because we had plenty of time, and I said, Jerry Griffin is his name, one of the finest people I've known. I said, Jerry, of all the fun and the games and the excitement, what do you reflect on most from that moonshot? Because he was very much a part of that. And he thought for a moment, and he said, well, my reflection was really after the moonshot. Most of us don't know, but about 40 or 50 great thinkers, many of them NASA people, including the astronauts themselves, Armstrong, Aldrin, Collins, went on a retreat. And they were asked to think about and answer one question. Why did we do what we did? What led to this? Why? Now, there's no right answers, so people could pontificate and think. Some went off and just thought on their own. There were many small group discussions. Probably some people doing whiteboard activity, those engineers that they are. But he said, actually, it was Neil Armstrong that came back with the most plausible answer, and it has direct relevance to you and me today. And he said this. He said, we know that the world, the environment, business, people, society works in cycles. And he asserted that maybe, just maybe, they were at that time completing a convergence of three cycles, and here they were. We know that things like the moonshot take incredible leadership. And if you know your history, you'll remember the very, very famous words of a very charismatic President John Kennedy, who said, "We shall send a man to the moon and return him safely." And it was elaborated on that. I'll give LBJ a lot of credit. He saw it through after the unfortunate assassination. He was a fanatic about NASA. So the point is, we had some charismatic and some deliverable leadership that the world perhaps followed. So leadership at the very top was one. The second was, you have to have a following. You have to have a support mechanism. Not everybody can be the president. Not everybody can be Apollo 11 astronaut. You have to have a support structure. And for sure, with the space race going on, Sputnik, all those things, the U.S. citizenry really, really wanted achievement. It was our, at that time, westward ho raison d'etre. And finally, he said we had a convergence of technology. Now, you know well that all the computer systems that got us three men to the moon and back could be contained in one portion of a laptop computer today. Remarkable. But they could see the possibility on the horizon. I think Kennedy said that in 1962, and by 1969 in July, they didn't have what we have, but boy, they had enough that they thought maybe they could deliver. So Neil asserted that these three cycles came together. Well, let me draw this together for you. I'll use the technology example. We're going to have to continue to adopt new technologies in agriculture. Right now, we have about 7.3 billion people on the planet, and we're driving towards 9 or 10 by 2050, which is not so far away. We're falling behind. Technologies too often are being rejected. But the technologies are there, from biotechnology, the new CRISPR gene editing technologies, incredible advances in big data. The list goes on and on and on. Technologically, if we stay on a path of accepting technology, that's one cycle that I think we can get there on. We got to keep developing. Not there yet, but we can get there. Let me talk about following. I think emotionally the world gets the fact that we've got to feed our people. There is a human element, an emotion around not letting people starve. And by the way, starvation has been on an incredible decline these last 20 years. Where we have the most starvation is where there are war and strife. You know, the Middle East, for example, Afghanistan, places. And sometimes you just kind of have to get out of the way when there's war going on. But I think, we have a following and a human population that's ready for that. So let's go back to leadership. I'm not sure that the chore in front of us in feeding that many people is going to be a single charismatic president or a UN general. I think it's going to come community by community, state by state, nation by nation. And that's your responsibility. I'm old and gray and long in the tooth. I don't know when I'll be done with this assignment, but I'm not going to step away. But by 2050, I suspect I will not be on a stage or as active as I am now. But you will be. And perhaps your children. This is your responsibility now, and I hope that you can take my friend Jerry Griffin and Neil Armstrong's three cycles converging, and take that to heart, because folks, We do not want to see people starve. And I would say there's something in it for all of U.S. agriculture. We are still the most prolific at producing protein, food, and nutrition of anybody in the world. Every single state contributes to that. And I don't know what your job, what your role will be, but if it's in agriculture or in anything close, I beg of you, we need you. A school board, a corporation like I did, for crying out loud, maybe you'll be a Secretary of Agriculture. When I was in your seat at the Kansas City conventions, I had no idea that I'd be in this position today. There's also a divine hand out there, at least that's my faith. So add that to your prayers. Prepare for any job that might come along, because we need you more than you can possibly imagine, given the divisiveness we have in the world, given the need we have for leadership, whether it's helping somebody through a parliamentary procedure issue, or an impromptu speaking, or a defense of agriculture. We need you. We need you very, very badly. So, on that note, I want to just say, I hope you enjoy my beloved Indianapolis and my beloved Indiana. And as you make your treks back home, wherever that might be, please give back to what I believe is the finest youth organization in the world. I love you all. Good luck. And thank you.